Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. At the Lanoue Fine Art Gallery in Boston's South End this month is a haunting exhibit of works created by architect Mohamed Hafez. He's created dozens of models of the streets of his native Syria.
And I realize while I can't go home, I could recreate home the streetscapes that I love the most about Old Damascus. The balconies, these laundry lines, the overlapping architecture, minarets and churches dancing together in the skyline, people conversing, overlapping market activity on the ground level. So much richness in the Syrian fabric.
Hafez started creating these 14 years ago to deal with his homesickness. At that time, he was in his first year at Iowa State University, 6,000 miles away from Old Damascus. And as the conflict in Syria erupted, his work changed. Instead of pristine streets, Hafez constructed apartment buildings with gaping holes and electrical wires exposed, half-shattered lights still flickering in exposed hallways. Hafez used foam and whatever objects he finds outside to create these works, and throughout the exhibit you hear audio from some of the video footage that's been taken during the war. When the war began, Hafez says he was in such despair that he couldn't even pick up a pencil for 2 years. And when he did, his emotions poured into the rubble of his city.
It's sort of interesting to look at where I started and how it progressed over the years, and the ironic fact that it kind of represents the sad history of the nation, going from very prosperous days to a vicious war ending with the plight of refugees today.
Let's look at some more.
Perfect.
Can we look at some more? You've got what, about, I'd say, two dozen?
Yeah, there's a good 26, maybe.
Yeah, about two dozen different miniature settings here. You have a favorite?
That's
Is that like talking about a favorite child, right?
That's confidential. What you should note is at a given time, I am working on anywhere from 4 to 7 pieces. I never work on a single piece at a time.
Why?
I think I would go crazy detailing one piece. I put so much detail in these works, and I go back and see, okay, what do you really want added to you? And I go back and look at my many, many jars of found objects, and I come back with an object, and I stick it in there.
These are all made of found objects.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Everything except the architectural part, the walls and the floors are found objects. These are Christmas tree lights, ornaments. These are clock components. These are limbs from my backyard that I cut to make the rafters.
Oh, it's really beautiful.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
How long does it take you, would you say, to do one? Typically?
Anywhere from 3 to 6 to 7 months, because I work on them continuously.
In these down here, these pieces that you have about 5 or 6 right here, and they're all in either suitcases or old typewriter cases.
Correct.
What does that mean?
These were started and influenced by my family's personal story of having to leave our beautiful home in Damascus. Some of these have a luxurious French Baroque interior with golden wallpaper and a nice couch, representing the established lives that they left behind.
But the background is a destroyed city. I mean,
it's a
beautiful sofa in the middle of a bullet-ridden wall.
Exactly. They didn't choose to leave. They were forced to leave right then and there. And sometimes with very little notice, they couldn't take more than a suitcase with them.
So we've gone from nostalgia and sort of some of the destruction to the refugee crisis to now over here.
Oh, His Majesty.
His Majesty. Now, this is also very large, mounted on the wall, and it looks like there are lots of houses coming out.
Correct.
And then in the middle, there is this marble floored miniature bathroom.
Correct. Luxurious bathroom.
Luxurious bathroom. Do you want to describe the rest of this for me and what the thinking was here?
Well, as you could appreciate, our nation, the American nation, had a kind of a rough patch last year with a lot of statements being said that sort of insulted and affected many, many people. It got me thinking about how some people in power think they can just grab the mic and say whatever they want and paint millions and millions of people with one wide brush, causing judgments, causing false perceptions, and spreading hate. Well, I saw it, as I called it, verbal diarrhea, our daily dose of verbal diarrhea. So this is a global piece. The character in the image is nobody. It's composed of many, many people smashed together with a computer software. And it talks about how these characters feel they're entitled or they're allowed to just sit there and defecate on the rest of society.
We should say the character is the picture is in a gold frame, a sort of a frame that's too large for your luxurious bathroom in the middle of the setting here.
Well, and they live with egos bigger than existence.
So they need pictures.
They need pictures and they need gold frames and they need crowns. Yet our houses, us, the people, we're this small in comparison. Yet we are...
They almost look like birdhouses. Like,
yeah, exactly, in comparison. Mm-hmm. And you can see the splashes on the houses receiving all these daily blessings of media and spicy statements.
So you said this wasn't political. I think it might be a tad political.
A tad bit political. A tad bit.
Now, this is also very disturbing and very intricate. This is a large... cityscape as well. This one's called We Have Won, right?
We Have Won, yes.
What does that mean? Because it doesn't look like a victory scene.
Oh, to some leaders, this is victory. We have won. This started after seeing a photograph in the newspaper of a residential neighborhood that was completely decimated. The facades of all the buildings were just blown off. And in the middle of this neighborhood, there was a banner that said, "We will rebuild it together." How could you carpet bomb your own nation and promise to rebuild it? I felt as though somebody had wiped their own family clean, killed them all, destroyed all the cities, and said, "I have won," standing over the bones of our culture and civilization.
And also in the background, you hear the shots being fired. Where is that sound from?
That sound is taken from real footage on ground in Syria. And you hear them saying, "Darab, darab," which means they have dropped the bomb. So these helicopters and jets would fly over, and people, he's just yelling, "Where's your kid? Did it drop it at the hospital?" "No, I think it dropped it at the post office." And you hear the shrapnels, and you hear the bomb hitting, and people panicking and running around and searching, "Where's your kids?" Then you hear the gunshots. And so that means there are people continuously living in this situation under attack every day. And that's what I probably wanted to get through the flickering lights, the bad electricity service. And the sound finishes with the call to prayer that I had recorded in last time I was in my home country. And it's the call to prayer from my parents' balcony. And you hear our birds. You hear the skies so peaceful. You hear the pigeons flying in the skies. that was a moment of peace that is, of course, is no longer existent. And I merged this audio with the status quo. And so it takes you on a very nostalgic and heavy emotional trip.
There's a TV screen next to this too. That's
a drone footage of Homs, a heavily affected and full of destruction city in northern Syria.
Oh my gosh.
And it blew my mind seeing this drone footage just flying over. There isn't a single wall that hasn't been affected. There isn't a single building that is intact.
This was in 2016.
This is in 2016. So you could see where I pull my inspiration from. And that's where you see the slabs hanging with the rebar showing.
Just completely destroyed. I mean, the whole city looks just completely destroyed. It looks like a bad movie, right?
Yes. It's a bad dream. Sadly, it's our reality. You know, in our local media, this doesn't get shown. So I wanted to remodel this for people to relate of how it feels to stand in such streetscape, how it feels to be, to call this home on daily basis. How does it feel to live like this? What is so desperate that leads a father to put his 2- and 3-year-old kid in a refugee float across the Mediterranean, middle of the night, knowing that 50% chance that boat is flipping, capsizing, and they're dying? What amount of desperation leads a parent to do that?
You know, you've said that one of the things about Syria for you was that you finally felt comfortable, right? Finally felt that you were home.
I was finally at home.
Do you feel at home in the United States?
Absolutely.
You do?
Absolutely.
So this is your home now?
This is my home. I truly believe in this. Home is where peace and tranquility is, and where dignity and respectful life is achieved. That's how I look at it. If I'm unable to build a decent life currently in Syria, that doesn't hold me from living somewhere else, living peacefully, sharing, caring about others, regardless of who they are, where they come from. And this is the beauty that always attracted my family to the United States, because that's the very values this great nation has been built on.
But you still miss Syria.
Undoubtedly. My blood is Syrian.
And will you continue to make these?
Absolutely.
You're still so immersed in it that you need to do it really as a way to...
It is my art therapy session. I can describe to you how it feels to experience your home country deteriorate overseas. This work, this amount of detailed work so far has been the only thing that brought me peace and tranquility. And to be able to tell our story and getting a warm, warm reception from our audience is something that I'm honored with. And I take very dear to my heart.
Do you still have any family in Syria?
Yes, we do.
Oh, quite a few.
Quite a bit. Oh. And we're always in contact with them.
So far, they're safe.
Yes, to a certain extent. We have been blessed to not lose any family members in this conflict. That doesn't mean that people have not been imprisoned or tortured or harassed.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
All right. Well, thank you for showing us around. Beautiful work.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and thank you for taking the time to look at the work.
The exhibit Homeland Insecurity is at the Lanou Fine Art Gallery in Boston's South End through April 30th. You can find detailed images of Mohammed Hafez's work on our website, radioboston.org. And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.